Luke chapter 21, we're going to read the first four verses and then consider this incident as we have recorded here. Luke 21, verse 1, and he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast into the offerings of God, but she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she had. Amen. We'll end our reading there. We trust the Lord will bless us for Jesus' sake. This morning I want us to think on this portion, and I am actually entitling it, and please allow me just one moment for a smile here. I could not help it. I had to give the title, With All Her Might. And if you'll just allow me that one moment, and then I'll move on to more serious moments of consideration here. With all her might. Before we go any further, let's just ask the Lord to bless us and to meet with us for Jesus' sake. Our Father and our God, now we pray that you will bless this time. Bless it with the Spirit's help. Bless it, O God, with the illuminating power that comes to us through the Word. Lord, let us learn of Christ. Let us learn of His expectations, but also of His heart. Lord, we ask that you will teach us and draw us along with thyself, that we might be made more like him. Lord, we need the help of our God. Lord, to this end, we plead the blood of the Lord Jesus over our hearts. Lord, make us to be hearers, but also make us to be doers of the mind and will of God. Help me as thy servant, I would pray, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. The incident that we have at hand is a contrast between the hypocrisy of the rich men who for a show were casting into the treasury a little of their wealth, and a widow who was casting in little, but it was all of her wealth. The temptation for us when we look at something of this sort is to consider the amounts that went into the treasury and then make a judgment about the relative worth of the two in the sight of God and in the sight of men. The lesson would be then, do not despise little gifts or small services for God, for they are much in his sight, whereas the doings of the hypocrite perish with him. Now that is a true enough assessment. But the point that the Lord Jesus is making is not in the gifts, whether large or small. That's not what he is talking about or pointing to. That is entirely a secondary matter, if one at all. The great contrast that is being made is far deeper than the quality and quantity of that which was heard clinking in the great coffers of the temple. It was also much more than the comparison of how much each gift was of the total net worth of the givers. Though the Lord Jesus does point out that concerning the woman, as he is making his larger point, To be plainer, the Lord Jesus was not so much watching what they gave as much as he was watching how they gave it. The larger point that the Lord Jesus was making was that the heart of the widow was far different than that of the rich men. Her heart was so full of love for the Lord that she cast in what she had, and if you'll allow me my title, with all her might. She cast in what she had. There was not the consideration of her poverty and the thought of where she would get her next meal. That was not in her mind. We might ask the question just on that thought, was it possible for the Lord to take notice of her heart and allow her to go hungry and cold after that? I don't think so. I think this woman was not losing anything by what she did. The Lord cares for his own. And I say to the answer to that question I just asked, the answer would be very obvious to us, I think, for any of us who have ever known the beneficence of our Savior. We might also ask another question. Was the woman, as she did this, noticed by anybody else in the temple? I would say it's doubtful. She came in, most likely, with no notice, humbly, quietly. There was no loud greetings for her. There was not the waiting on her part until someone was watching before she deposited her small amount. This was a woman that, because of her poverty, would have been looked on as almost unclean by those that were there, and certainly of no import. Yet, her gift was a treasure to the Lord. Our question might be, at this point then, what is to be learned about the woman, and by her, what is to be learned about us? That might be a question that would be good to ask and answer. However, that's not where I'm going to go today in my thinking. I intend rather to draw the focus away from the woman and rather ask the question, what is to be learned about the Lord from this account? And my premise to you, my proposition is this, that you see very plainly, very openly, and very clearly the heart of the Lord Jesus revealed. You see the heart of Christ in this. And I want us to make four observations here as we consider this incident about the Lord. The first of which is, I want you to understand and see with me that the Lord sees. The Lord sees. Now, consider that the moment in which this incident occurred was shortly before the Lord went to Calvary. He had entered Jerusalem triumphantly. He had cleansed the temple. He was put upon by the Pharisees who were seeking to discredit him and catch him in his words. There was great moments of controversy, and there were moments in which the Pharisees were plotting against him. He was facing the moments of his great suffering as they fast approached. Yet, though his mind could have been easily preoccupied by those things, and I want you to understand this, though Christ's mind could have been taken up with what was facing him in just a short while, he took notice of this poor woman. He saw her. He noticed what she did. All from beginning to end, he understood all that it was to know about this woman, And he looked and he saw. J.C. Ryle makes the comment. He says, further, the one who formed the sun, moon, and stars was the one who formed also the tongue of a gnat and the wing of a fly with perfect wisdom. You say, well, the Lord would take knowledge of great things like the sun and the moon and the stars and so forth. No, the Lord takes care to notice even the smallest of things. That is where the mind of our God is from start to finish on all those things that has to do with his people. I say the point here is rather simple. We often feel that what is small and paltry, that of which men do not even take notice, is without worth and goes for nothing. That's how we judge things. If somebody doesn't notice this thing, if it's insignificant, at least in our eyes, then it's really of no worth. This is not a lesson so much than in the subject of giving of our substance to the Lord, as it is a lesson in the giving of the heart to the Lord. I want you to understand, this is what the Lord Jesus is pointing to. He's not dealing with how much or what we give, but he is more concerned with how it is that we are giving it. The Lord wants it to be very clear and plain that what is done for the Lord, in the name of the Lord, will not go unseen by the Lord. Also, I want you to understand this. The men that the Lord Jesus was pointing this woman out to were his poor disciples, who would for the rest of their lives be poor men, who might think in their minds, you know, I'm not really, because of the limitations of my education, the limitations of my abilities, my experiences, and so forth, I may not be able to do a great lot for the Lord myself. The Lord's saying, don't measure what I call you to do by the vastness or the greatness or the substance of it. Note this woman. We wonder if the little things that we do for the Lord will be of any worth. The point that is being made is that if it's for the Lord Jesus cannot help but note it. What we do for Christ, though we may say it is paltry and it is of very, very little lasting good, if it's done for the Lord will notice. The Lord will see. Now, having said that, let's just also take a step back and consider this. I want you to understand that all that we are and all that we have are little anyway. So if you will, I'm going to offer this as a sub-point. All that you have is little. All that you have is little. You don't have anything else. Let me ask you a question. How much could you give to God that would impress him? How much of a gift could you bring that the Lord would say that was over and above what you ought to have done? My friends, you have little. Even if you bring all that you have, it's still little. And though men could look at you and even envy you for the abundance that you have, in the sight of God, your abundance, whether in goods or talents, is nothing but rubble. And we have nothing. We are nothing. That's what we are. All of your service is wanting. Your contributions to the cause are but trifles. The Lord allows us to learn of that even from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17, where he makes the comment to those that were listening to his parable. He says about those that were the servants, he says, so likewise ye, when ye have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. Let's not think that there are some of us that have great things that can be offered and some of us that have little things. The matter of the whole thing is this. The truth of the point is that there is none of us that have anything truly to give to God that's of any real worth. But if it is given in the name of the Lord Jesus, if it is given out of a heart from love, of love for Him, it will be seen. It will be noted. And so I say, secondly then, that given this point, the Lord looks for the little things. The Lord looks for little things. Perhaps we could bring things into a better or clearer context by noting the way which the things of God are done. We might imagine that the Lord would really only be blessing us if we were able to do great things for Him. If you do something great for God, He's going to bless you. If we are successful in some great deed or work, then we have a reason to hold up our heads to the Lord. Let me mention, or just simply say this. The truth is that there is never a single instance where we do great things. There is no man living who has ever done a great thing. If something great is done, it's only because the Lord Himself has done it. He allows us to be part of it sometimes, but He is always the doer of it. Well, even the small things that are done for God are by the grace of God. In fact, you know, it's amazing how even in the small things, we struggle in our hearts even to do the smallest of good. Giving the smallest of helps is often a matter of spiritual warfare in our hearts. We just don't want to even give the smallest of things. But the Lord allows us to, by faith, give to Him. And let me just simply say this. There is no such thing as giving to the Lord without faith. You must have faith to truly give to the Lord. Unless the mind and heart are focused on the Lord, there is nothing in what we give. That's the lesson of the rich man here. Though they gave much, they gave nothing at all. The eyes of the Lord are on His people. He sees and notes what is done for Him. The Lord sees. That, I would say, is the first thing we can draw from this. Secondly, I would point this out, that the Lord treasures. The obvious and plain truth of this incident that we must note is that the widow did touch the heart of the Lord Jesus. What she did touched Him in His heart. You know, of all the hundreds that walked through that place, and of all those that threw money into the 13 coffers that were there in the court of the women, why did the Lord Jesus stop to note this woman? She was casting in nothing. I was thinking just about the worth of that, those two mites. I was going to bring in a penny and hold it up and let you see it. And to give you an idea, in our society today, in our world, how much does a penny buy? How much does a penny do to increase your wealth? If you were wanting to know essentially how much two mites was worth, it was worth about one-third of a penny. That shows how small that was per se. But the Lord treasured it. We might say, well, why? Well, the Lord had just battled with the hypocrites that sought to trip Him up in His words. He was being watched by those who would in a couple days be crying about Him, "We have no king but Caesar, crucify Him." The moment was extreme in pressure. You'd have to say this was a time when the Lord's heart was beginning to know the pains that he spoke of when he was in the Garden of Gethsemane. The hearts of those that had cried Hosanna were being turned to cry Crucify. So why did he notice her? The Lord Jesus treasures faith and love in the hearts of his people, even though they have nothing of this world. That is a point to remember from this. This is something that the Lord is preaching. He doesn't treasure just great ventures for his name's sake. In fact, you think of some of the great ventures, if you will, that the Lord allowed his people to enter into, and see, wasn't their poverty right at their hand? You think about it this way. When David was sent into the valley to face Goliath, what did the Lord allow him to take in his hand? A sling and a stone. Not a whole lot of a picture of great wealth associated with that one. When Moses was sent back to the children of Israel and eventually led them out of the land of Egypt, what did he have in his hand? Nothing but a shepherd's rod. When the Lord Jesus sent out the disciples two by two, what did he tell them to take with them? He just said, don't take. Don't take scrip. Don't take an extra coat. Don't take anything along with you. Just whenever you reach the place where you're going, if they will receive you into their house, be thankful, but take nothing. In other words, the Lord was not valuing all the substance that goes along with great ventures. He was treasuring faith. And so I say very plainly this morning, you do not have to give to God anything that is of any worth except your heart. I think that's what the Lord is presenting here. He treasures faith and love in the hearts of his people. That is what makes his heart glad. The rich men gave great gifts. The response of men to such gifts is to be thrilled. We make much of those sorts of things. G. Campbell Morgan makes a comment. He's about the rich men. He says, the rich men were those that gave out of their superfluity, which means that is that they gave what they counted as unneeded or leftover. My question as I read that is, how does a rich man usually esteem his wealth? Is there ever anything that's left over or unneeded? Usually not. But here it is. Whatever they felt, I don't need this. And you'd have to say it would be a very, very small portion of what they had. Whatever was the leftover, that's what they gave. The widow was in abject poverty. The amount that she gave would not have even been noticed by those that would count the money later. But here Morgan makes a comment. He says, the Lord says, though, that the woman gave more than all the rich men combined. In other words, you can take the whole of what the rich put in and hold it in one hand, and then take the widow's mites in the other, and what she put in far outweighed what the rich had put in. So she put in more than they all. Take everything you want to see from what they've done. She's done more. The point then is this, that our God seeks nothing from men. He needs nothing from men. The greatest possible treasures to us are worthless to God. His call to us is, as it said in 1 Chronicles 22:19, now set your heart and your soul to seek the Lord your God. The lesson is that the Lord treasures faith, and he treasures faith at work. Why? Well, I think the answer is that the heart of the Lord Jesus is purely good. He is full of grace and truth. His heart will not let him see or neglect or pass over that which is done for him. It will not let him go without noticing and esteeming it.
because of who he is. The Lord
treasures what's done
in faith for him. That is a second point, a second observation.
The third thing I would point out is this, that the Lord weighs. This point is short. The Lord is the righteous judge of what is or
is not of worth.
It is not men that are the judge of such things. So, with that in mind, you and I are not to
give place or give our minds to
what we are able to give or not to give. And we are not to bow to man's judgment or esteem on such things. What we do in the Savior's name is only often seen by him. He puts it in the scale. But are we not told that he desires our gifts to go unseen? See, well,
is it right that the Lord should not allow what I do for him to be seen? Well, again, what does the Lord tell us in Matthew chapter 6? He says, but when thou doest thine alms,
let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret,
and thy Father, which seeth in secret himself,
shall reward thee openly.
And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are.
For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. The Lord, for his own purpose and glory, holds the value of our service and gifts in his hand and weighs it for what it is. The Lord Jesus is teaching us that. Dr. Joseph Parker, who was a
British preacher of the last century, preached in the city temple, made the comment that the gold of the rich
was counted
as dust which perished.
The mites of the widow
turned to the gold of eternity. The Lord is the one who weighs. The Lord is the one who judges, not us. Do not let your mind go to that place.
This also means that we are not to judge the worth of what we do. We cannot be judges
because we cannot see the purposes of God. Well, I finish with this point. The Lord uses. That is something also that can be learned from this incident.
On the surface, it would appear that this widow was of no use or help in the things of God. What she did and what she could do in the future were completely without worth. What was she amongst men in that day? What was she? Well, I would suggest to you that the opposite is the truth. What the woman did by her faith and self-sacrifice served as a lesson used by the Lord Jesus, which I say is of greater value than the millions that were put into the coffers. To be used of the Lord Jesus to teach truth, to be used of the Lord Jesus to be an example of what he would have his people to see and know and do. Oh, what worth that is in the kingdom of God. She was used to set before all generations that followed what the heart of the Lord is toward faithful service, worship, and giving. She was an example. Her personal testimony is recorded forever.
What a privilege. You think about it. What a privilege.
What was remembered about the rich men? Can you name one?
You remember this woman. her testimony lives on for the glory of Christ. And I say that the Lord did reward her openly. He pointed to her as one that possessed great faith. You know, if a man could go all his life with nothing and yet be used of God to teach one lesson for his glory, he has given more than millions. If we are but to be used for the Lord Jesus to teach lessons, how much wealth has the Lord allowed us to give? And so I say the whole of the incident, though is perhaps revolving around what was done in this woman by her faith, and it shows the heart of the Lord Jesus. I want you to understand, when you have to step back and say and look at this whole thing, you have to say, well, what this woman did really is kind of a reflection, is it not? Is it not showing really what the Lord Jesus himself has done? What he does? What he did? It's a reflection about him giving himself. You know, to men, in the eyes of the world, in the eyes of those that would look at him, the Lord Jesus was nothing. He gave nothing but words. He was an example. What did the Lord Jesus really do to build a society or to build a kingdom or to build a lasting conqueror's name for himself? He did nothing of that sort. Where was the political advantage that was gained through his coming? Where was, in fact, the great educational changes to the thinking of men because of Christ? Men will look at that and they'll say, he didn't do anything. Just words. Good words. He was an example. But the Lord Jesus gave everything. He gave all. He gave his life. He gave his words. But what does he say about his words? Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. He gave to us that which is eternal. He gave to us that which, that light which is not able to be put out. He gave to us that which will shine for eternity. He gave us his righteousness. How can you value that? There is no estimate for that. He gave us his name. He gave us his promise. He gives us his intercession. All these things to the world in the eyes of men, to those who are the rich, that cast into the coffers. In the eyes of the world, what the Lord Jesus gives to his church are two months. But his was the ultimate picture of the heart of self-sacrifice. He uses this woman to teach a lesson, yes, about what he would have his people to do and be, but more so to teach a lesson about himself and how he looks at those things, how he deals with you, how he looks at what you do, and also to teach you again of what he will be to you. My point in closing to you is simply this. We then are to esteem what Christ esteems. We are to put our hearts and minds and value what Christ values. Unfortunately, I think we're in a day when men are doing absolutely the opposite, where the only thing that men esteems is that which makes them look good in the eyes of others, or brings pleasure to themselves or comforts. This woman cast in her two mites to the eternal pleasure of God and to the good of the Lord's people, as we would understand this is how the Lord looks at true worship, faith,
and giving on the part of his people. No small thing. So when you find yourself tempted to say, well, what can I do for the Lord? What is it that I can do? What is it that possibly would be meaningful for me to do? If it's done in the Lord's name, everything you do, whether it's a small word that's spoken or a small help or a small witness or a small act of love, it doesn't matter if the size of what you do is only but two mites worth. If it is done for Jesus, if your heart is set, I'm doing this for the Lord. The Lord sees it, he treasures it, he weighs it, and he will use it. That is the point that you have from this woman. That is a point that you can take to your heart and mind. Well, may the Lord be pleased to allow his word to do its work in our heart. Our Father and our God, now we would pray that you will bless this word. Lord, we thank thee that you show yourself in the word, that you let us see the heart of our Savior, and it teaches us how we can expect you to deal with us. Lord, I pray that you'll bless it then. Allow it to remain in us and do in us what you sent it to do. Lord, bless the word. We pray in Jesus' precious name and for his sake. Amen.